You're listening to ESL Podcast English Cafe, number 292. This is English as a Second Language Podcast, English Cafe, episode 292. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Visit our website at ESLPOD.com. Download this episode's learning guide, an 8 to 10 page guide we provide for all of our current episodes that gives you some additional help in improving your English and giving you stronger muscles, especially if you lift the learning guide up and down with your arms. On this cafe, we're going to talk about Buffalo Soldiers, groups of African Americans or Black Americans who fought in the U.S. military many years ago. We'll also continue our series on famous songs, focusing on Oh My Darling Clementine. And as always, we'll answer a few of your questions. We're going to start with our very own Dr. Lucy Say talking about Buffalo Soldiers. Take it away, Lucy.
Thank you once again, Jeff, for letting me come and visit you here on the English Cafe. This cafe begins with a discussion about the Buffalo Soldiers. A soldier, S-O-L-D-I-E-R, is someone who fights in the army. A buffalo is a very large animal, like a big bull or cow, but with a lot more hair and large horns. Buffalo are sometimes called bison, B-I-S-O-N. We used to find buffalo all over North America, and they were very important because they were a very good source of food, clothing, and shelter for Native Americans. That means that Native Americans used to kill buffalo, and use their meat for food, use their skin for clothing, and also to build their own homes. So the phrase Buffalo Soldiers might make you think about groups of buffalo fighting in an army. But the Buffalo Soldiers were certain regiments, R-E-G-I-M-E-N-T-S, or groups of soldiers. These Buffalo Soldier regiments were made up of only African American or Black soldiers, and they were formed in 1866. There had been African American regiments earlier during the Civil War, but the Buffalo Soldier regiments were the first all-Black regiments to be part of the U.S. Army during peacetime. P-E-A-C-E-T-I-M-E, or a period of time when the country wasn't fighting a war. Some people, some historians, think the name Buffalo Soldiers came from the soldiers' strong fighting abilities. They were very tough. Other people think the name came from Native Americans who thought that the soldiers' dark, tight, curly hair looked like the fur, F-U-R, or hair on a buffalo. We use the word fur to talk about hair that grows on animals, like bears or cats or dogs. We only use the word hair for humans, for people. The Buffalo Soldiers were important in the Indian Wars when the United States was expanding westward, W-E-S-T-W-A-R-D, or moving toward the west, as well as in the Spanish-American War, the Philippine-American War, and other battles. Some of the Buffalo Soldier regiments also served in the Sierra Nevada of California. They had the job of park rangers, R-A-N-G-E-R-S, or workers or people who worked outdoors to take care of our national parks at Yosemite National Park and Sequoia National Park, for example. Before we had park rangers, regiments of soldiers or groups of soldiers did the work of park rangers in these natural areas, in these national parks. Many of the Buffalo Soldiers were recognized and honored for their service to the country. 23 Buffalo Soldiers received the Medal of Honor during the Indian Wars. This is a very prestigious award given to soldiers. One man named Charles Young became the third African-American to graduate from the U.S. Military Academy, and he was the highest-ranking African-American official in the U.S. military when he died. The Buffalo Soldiers suffered from a lot of racial prejudice, P-R-E-J-U-D-I-C-E, or unfair assumptions about what someone is or how someone will behave based on the color of his or her skin. Sometimes the Buffalo Soldiers were even attacked by the people living in towns and cities where they went. And although the Buffalo Soldiers were important fighters in the Indian Wars, they weren't used for the most important fighting in subsequent S-U-B-S-E-Q-U-E-M-T, or later wars, like World War I or World War II. In 1951, the last Buffalo Soldier regiments were disbanded. D-I-S-B-A-N-D-E-D, meaning that the groups were taken apart and they no longer existed. The soldiers were integrated. I-N-T-E-G-R-A-T-E-D with other regiments. And there were no longer regiments only for black soldiers and only for white soldiers. I hope you've enjoyed listening to some information about the Buffalo Soldiers. Thank you once again to Jeff for letting me come and visit you here on the English Cafe. And now back to Jeff.
Thank you, Lucy. Now let's turn to our second topic, which is a continuation of our series on famous songs. Today, you will learn about Oh My Darling Clementine. Darling, D-A-R-L-I-N-G, is a nice word, somewhat old-fashioned word, that a man says to his girlfriend or wife. It's sort of like the word honey or sweetie. It's what we call a term of endearment. You would only say it to someone who was very dear to you. So a husband might call his wife darling. As I say, it's an old-fashioned word now. We don't use it a lot, although in some parts of the country it may still be popular. It may also be used in a funny way with a very exaggerated pronunciation. Darling. Thank you, darling. Well, that wasn't funny. It was just a little weird. Anyway, Clementine is the name of the woman this song is about. Although a clementine, as a regular noun, can also be a small, sweet orange, kind of like a tangerine or what we call mandarin orange. The song, Oh My Darling Clementine, was written by a man named Percy Montrose in the year 1884. It's about this woman, this girl, Clementine, who was the daughter of a miner in the California Gold Rush. A miner, M-I-N-E-R, is someone whose job it is to take some sort of valuable metals or minerals out of the earth, such as gold, silver, or copper. That's what a miner is. A miner works in a mine, M-I-N-E. The California Gold Rush was a period of time beginning in the late 1840s when gold was discovered in Northern California, and thousands of people came to California to look for gold. And the population of the state grew very quickly after the gold rush. In fact, California became a state only a few years after that happened. Even today, California is sometimes called the Golden State. The song is sung by what we may describe as a bereaved man, someone who is bereaved, B-E-R-E-A-V-E-D, has recently had someone die that they loved, and that makes them very sad. The bereaved man singing this song loved Clementine, but she died, unfortunately, in a drowning accident. To drown, D-R-O-W-N, means to die from being under the water too long, or from taking in water into your lungs where it doesn't belong. So the song begins, in a cavern, in a canyon, excavating for a mine, dwelt a miner, 49er, and his daughter, Clementine. Let me explain it and then we'll let you hear how it sounds, or at least how I will make it sound. A cavern, C-A-V-E-R-N, is a large hole underground or in a mountain. It's similar to a cave, C-A-V-E. The singer talks about a cavern in a canyon. A canyon is like a deep hole that is caused by a river that continues to create a hole after many thousands or even tens of thousands of years. The Grand Canyon in Arizona, in the southwest part of the U.S., was created by the Colorado River. So the song begins in a cavern, in a canyon, excavating for a mine. To excavate is the same as to dig, especially when you are first building the mine. Miners have to excavate underground or into mountains by creating a hole, pulling rocks out of the surface. In that place they were excavating, dwelt or lived a miner, 49er. 49er was the name given to people who came here for the California Gold Rush because it happened in 1849. So they were called 49ers. The writer of the song is rhyming, of course, miner with 49er. So in a cavern, in a canyon, excavating for a mine, lived or dwelt a miner, 49er, and his daughter, Clementine. In the canyon, excavating for a mine, dwelt a miner, 49er, and his daughter, Clementine. This is a song I should mention briefly that most Americans know. It's a song you learned in school. The other verses or parts of the song talk about how beautiful Clementine was and how one day she fell into the water. Then there's this verse which describes how she dies. Ruby lips above the water, blowing bubbles soft and fine. But alas, I was no swimmer, so I lost my Clementine. Ruby, R-U-B-Y, in this case refers to a color, the color red. Ruby lips would be lips that had a deep color of red. He could see her lips above the water, blowing bubbles, soft and fine. To blow bubbles is to use your mouth and put air into a liquid, causing the air to come up out of the liquid. In this case, of course, the poor girl is trying to breathe because she's under the water. She's blowing bubbles soft and fine. Fine here might mean delicate or ones that were very small. But alas, he says, alas, A-L-A-S, is a phrase used to show sadness about something. It's a word you would only find in an old poem or song like this. It's not used anymore, unless you're trying to be somehow funny. The man in the song says, alas, I was no swimmer, meaning I didn't know how to swim. So I lost my Clementine. Clementine died because the man did not know how to swim in order to save her from drowning. Ruby lips above the water, blowing bubbles soft and fine. But alas, I was no swimmer, so I lost my Clementine. Kind of sad, huh? Between each verse, there is, as there are in most popular songs, a chorus. Part of the song that is repeated with the same words several times. The chorus is quite famous. It goes, oh my darling, oh my darling Clementine, thou art lost and gone forever, dreadful sorry, Clementine. Once again, you hear that word darling. He's describing the woman he loves. Then he says, thou art, which is old English, at least English that is no longer used anymore outside of old books and poetry, which means you are. Thou is you, art is are. Thou art lost, you are lost, and gone forever, because of course she's dead. Dreadful sorry, Clementine. The speaker says he is dreadful, D-R-E-A D-F-U-L, or very sorry, meaning he's very sad that she died, of course. We also use the word dreadful when we mean very as a word of emphasis, usually something that is bad. It's a little old-fashioned. It's not used a lot anymore, but you will still hear it. I'm dreadfully sorry. Once again, we may use it just to be funny. This poor guy was not trying to be funny. He was just very sad. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling Clementine, thou art lost and gone forever, dreadful sorry Clementine. Now the final part or verse of the song. How I missed her, how I missed her, how I missed my Clementine. So I kissed her little sister and forgot my Clementine. I love that ending. In other words, he misses Clementine, his love, who died, but then he kissed her younger or little sister and fell in love with her instead. Isn't that great? Just like a man to forget his old love when a new love comes along. And even better, the new love looks like his old love because it's his old love's sister. How I missed her, how I missed her, how I missed my Clementine. So I kissed her little sister and forgot my Clementine. Oh, my darling Clementine is, as I said, a very well-known folk song, something that you learn in school, something that perhaps used to be sung in groups because it's one of those songs that everyone used to know. Even today, most Americans know the chorus or parts of the chorus of the song. Now let's listen to some of your questions. Our first question comes from a listener in China. We don't have his or her name. We'll call him or her Pat. Pat asks about the meaning of the word concern and how it is used. Concern, C-O-N-C-E-R-N, can mean to be connected to or to have something to do with some other person or thing. This newspaper article concerns children's health issues. Concerns means that's what it is about. That is what it is related to. Concern can also mean to cause interest in something, especially if you are worried. It concerns me that some children don't have enough to eat every day. It bothers me. It worries me. That's concern used as a verb. You can also have a concern as a noun. We use that to mean, for example, things that you are worried about. In the world of business, it can refer to a company or a business as a noun. It can also refer to simply something that someone has an interest in. The energy department has a concern in nuclear power. But we'll focus here on the verb to concern. There are several variations depending on the preposition you use with the verb that have slightly different meanings. Let's start with concerned about. If you're concerned about something, you are worried about something. I'm concerned about crime in my neighborhood. Concerned by also means to be worried about a problem. Many people were concerned by the deaths that happened in the park last week. Concerned in means closely connected to. These businesses concerned in the scandal sent messages to the police. Concerned with can mean like concerned about and concerned by, to be worried about something, or it can have the other meaning, to be connected with or to something. Of these four expressions, concerned about is probably the most common, meaning to be worried about. Concerned with is probably the most common one when we are talking about being connected to something. Marina, M-A-R-I-N-A, in Bulgaria, wants to know the difference between erase, E-R-A-S-E, and delete, D-E-L-E-T-E. Both words can mean to remove something, to get rid of something that was once there. They're used in slightly different contexts, however. Erase is something you would do, for example, if you wrote on a piece of paper in pencil. You might have an eraser, a noun, which erases the writing when you put the eraser on top and move it back and forth. That's to erase something. Erase can also mean to clear or clean off a hard drive on your computer. Or you could have a little disk, a CD, for example, that was writable and readable. A CD could be erased. You would get rid of all of the data, the information on the disk. You can also delete individual files from your computer. You get rid of them. You could delete all of the files as a way of erasing the files. So in that sense, they really mean the same. Delete is what we call a key on your keyboard that is used to get rid of a letter or a word or perhaps an entire document or file. Those are all things we use delete for. I'm going to delete this email. I'm going to get rid of it completely. We would not say I'm going to erase this email. Erase, once again, is used either for paper and pencil or when we are talking about taking an entire disk on a computer and getting rid of everything that's on it so that we could use it again. Delete means to get rid of permanently, usually permanently. Finally, Luis, L-U-I-S, in Mexico, wants to know whether the expression, how do you say something in English, is used for both speaking and writing. Because say, S-A-Y, is often associated by people with oral communication, talking. But the verb to say is also used in a written sense. You can talk about what the author said. Said, of course, is the past tense of say. So say does not mean just things that are spoken out loud. Therefore, it is perfectly correct and is, in fact, the common way of asking how you translate a word from one language to another by using the question, how do you say the word in English? Or how do you say the word in Spanish? How do you say city in Spanish? You say ciudad. That's an example. You can also use the phrase, do you know how to say blank, that is a word, in English? What is the right word for the word in English? Or simply, how do you say that? The most common, however, is how do you say, put in the word in English. If you have a question or comment, you can email us. I promise we won't delete your email. Not right away, anyway. Our email address is ESLPOD@ESLPOD.com. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Jeff McQuillan. Thank you for listening. Come back and listen to us again here on The English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan and Dr. Lucy Tsai. Copyright 2011 by the Center for Educational Development.